Hello everyone, and welcome to a post-mortem interview. What do you say? You don't know what post-mortem is? Well, that's after the fact, after it all happened. It's all done, the story is over. Well, somewhat. It's a bit fake in that regard. Anyway! Man. Tonight with me is Brian.
Hi there. How are you doing, Dan?
Good. So if people don't know, this is a Brian of Image Inform. They did earlier this year, they released SteamWorld Dig to the public. I believe in August. Yep, that's correct, in August. And that's quite a while back. It's currently November, so that's roughly 3 months now.
Yeah, more or less. We've had a fantastic 3 months. Very much thanks to you, of course, Dan. You're the guy who started it all.
Oh, gosh, really?
it was a fantastic time. So we released on August 7 in Europe and Australia, and then August 8 in the US. And the day before that, August 6 in the evening, I was very sleep deprived, and I was talking to this Dutch guy for a very long time, and I didn't know where it was going to lead.
Who was that Dutch guy? I have no idea.
No, it was fantastic.
Let's figure it out.
Oh, it was great, Dan. It was, we couldn't really know where we were going during our interview, I think. It's lovely to be back talking to you.
Thank you so much. That's actually what the first few questions actually is about. But to start things off, let's go back to like the end of June, which is where you wrapped up the game and sent it off to Nintendo for a launch check. What were the first thoughts that went kind of through your head after completion?
Well, the very first thoughts, you know, when you hit that button, is just it's sort of a cold chill that goes down your spine when you think about one certain feature. Did we fix everything with that? Are we really sure? Did we have everything in order? And then just a few minutes after that, it's that sort of immense feeling of relief SteamWorld Dig it's pretty much by far the longest time we've spent on one single game, and at least if you count the man hours. We've spent quite a few calendar months on games before, but this was such an effort from us by our standards. There were so many people involved, and just so many late nights, and it was sort of first it was horror, then it was relief, and then it was sort of a little bit sad or empty even. It's like, okay, what do we do now? And the answer was, well, it was an obvious answer, because it was the end of June and Sweden sort of dies in July. So we closed the office and went on vacation for a month.
And the promotion of the title wasn't so evergreen as it is, was it right now? Were you kind of hopeful that it would reach an audience in the end?
You know, we were very insecure about that, really, because we had been. This may sound strange or stupid, even, but it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But that we didn't really at the time when we had finished the game, we had been, our noses had been so close to the screen for so long that we didn't really know if the game was decent or even good or maybe even great. So we didn't really have an inkling, and we sort of, while it was sort of strange, the whole scenario, because we had been so wrapped up in development and we had so little time during development to sort of create the marketing and the PR material that... we felt that when everybody had gone on vacation, I felt that I had a month to myself to sort of figure out how we should market this game. So it that's why it sounds extremely stupid that you spend so much time and so much effort and so much money making a game, and then you really haven't figured out how to reach the audience yet. And also, I mean, it was our first effort on the 3DS. I was, just after we had finished development, I was sort of thinking to myself, maybe we should have started out with a smaller game just to see what the 3DS is like. God, what have we done? So, yeah, we thought it's that the people who tested it at the end, they were positive, and but yeah, we still didn't know if it was going to reach the public, and we didn't really know how we were going to do it. How are we going to reach out?
So the title was coming closer and closer, and we got in contact for roughly like a week before the game came out. I was already following you on Twitter at the time, which wasn't many followers, but I could just see you asking away to every site you could find. How were the sites initially when you approached them?
Well, can I dwell here on this question a little bit? Because it was an amazing week. Like you say, we got in contact roughly a week before the game came out. So the game came out August 7. I'm not lying when I tell you that on July 31st, the last day of July, we were back in the office, and I still had no real clue how we should reach out with this game. We had, I felt trapped during the whole month of July, sort of holding myself hostage, because I was trying very hard to relax during vacation. But I was just, I was feeling like such an idiot, because the guys and the girl in the office, they had made a fantastic game. I really thought so in July. When we had finished it in June, I wasn't so sure. But when I was playing it again and again, in mid-July and the week that followed, I thought this is great. The game is great. It's up to one person here now to actually market this game and get it out so that people find out about it. And I had no idea. I had really no idea. I was throwing stuff around just to seem like some guy who knew. I was telling the guys that we should definitely do something very special in social media and so on. And I didn't really know what I was talking about. I knew we'd done stuff before on Facebook, but I just felt it's such a, Facebook is so defensive. It's not an aggressive social media. You can't put up a Facebook page and sort of butt into people's conversations and so on. I mean, you can only reach the people you know. And so when I got back, just at the end of July, I was thinking, okay, Twitter, I have to sort of learn how to use Twitter and sort of use it to our advantage.
Yeah.
And so I looked at our Twitter account at that point, and we had 70 followers, and it was a lot of my friends and my mom and not very influential people on that Twitter account. And I was staring at it, and I thought, okay, there must be a way with this Twitter thing where I can, if I go out and sort of find the people that are influential and ask them to follow us, then maybe they would like to write about the game.
Yeah.
But then something really important actually happened. Very many important things happened during that first week of August before we, when we released the game.
Yeah.
First, just one or two days after I was sort of tearing my hair out because I didn't have a plan, Nintendo sent us an email. It's an Ed Valiente at Nintendo of Europe, who is a fantastic guy, period. He sent us an email and he said, I've played SteamWorld Dig all summer and it's a fantastic game. I've pulled a few strings here at Nintendo of Europe and I've arranged so that the head of Nintendo of Europe, Shibata-san, he will present SteamWorld Dig during the Nintendo Direct. Or the Direct Connect, sorry.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because we hadn't heard of anything like that before, that a third-party title would get that sort of attention during the Direct Connect.
Nintendo Direct.
Sorry?
Nintendo Direct.
Yes, sorry. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sort of thinking as I speak. Yeah, of course, the Nintendo Direct. And so I was very happy about that. And then I thought, okay, then we have something great going for the game. But at the same time, Ed was telling us that we couldn't really tell anyone about this. We had to keep a lid on it, so we couldn't talk to people that it was going to be aired. So I was still in the same spot where I didn't have a lot of Twitter connections and we had such a meager press list as well. Then the next fantastic thing happened. That just one day after that, maybe it was around August 2nd or something, and the game was going to be released on August 7th. Maybe, I hope I'm not exaggerating here, but a very friendly guy called Jens Andersson, the guy who has made Colors 3D for the Nintendo 3DS, it was just an off chance that I got in contact with him. I sent an email actually asking something else to a forum of Swedish game developers, and he wrote me privately back and said that he was very, very happy to see another Swedish developer doing something for the 3DS. Mm-hmm. And so he... in that same email, he said, here are my sales figures. And if there's anything else you need, just give me a call. And I was out at lunch when I got it. And then when I got back, I saw his mail and started writing a thank you note. And then another email from him arrived where he said, by the way, here's my press list. These are my press contacts. Please use them. I think they could be useful to you. Mm. So it was... I hope Jens doesn't get bogged down with requests from me telling you this, but I just wanted to highlight what a fantastic guy.
Well, yeah, I've discussed Color 3D beforehand, and again, also it's another title I really love on the 3DS. Fantastic little software, and he was a fantastic guy to talk to. So yeah, props to the guy.
Extremely generous and. I mean, it just came out of the blue. So, yeah, really, really amazing. And so then we had sort of a decent list of press contacts all of a sudden. And Nintendo of Europe was going to put it in their video broadcast.
Yeah.
But we still sort of had, we didn't have an amazing amount of followers on Twitter. I mean, we had the press contacts now, and we had Nintendo in our corner, but yeah. The general public was there. They just weren't there. So I think I made at least 25 wrong moves on Twitter the first days. I was sending the same tweet to a lot of people who I thought were influential, and another Dutch guy. I mean. I'm surrounded by beautiful Dutch guys, but he actually sent me a very friendly tweet saying, you know, you're actually right now you're not communicating with people. You're stalking them or you're spamming them. You should just stop doing that. And then I was at a loss again, almost started crying because I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And then I was just little.
The fun part is, I actually started following because you did that because I knew this was something is going on here.
Okay, So maybe it wasn't wrong, but later the same day, I actually got an email from Twitter that said that it seems like you're spamming people on Twitter, and you shouldn't be doing that. That's very rude. If we see this again, we will shut down your Twitter account. And then I was like, oh my God, I don't have a gun, and now I won't even have the ammo for that gun that I don't have. So I sort of kept looking for people who seemed like they were into Nintendo 3DS games. And I was deliberately just making very minor changes to the tweets that I was sending out. And I was trying to be very friendly the whole time. And not act like something that I wasn't. I didn't try to sound like a salesperson, or I tried to sound like a very small developer who doesn't really know what he's doing. Oh. Yeah, so there it was. And then, so we sent out a press release, just a few days before we released it. And then I was waiting by the computer for these guys to sort of write me back and say, yeah, can we have a review code for the game? And I was just waiting and waiting for those emails to arrive. And then it felt like I was sitting there for half a day, but maybe 10 minutes after I'd sent it out, the first email arrived from a Swedish site saying that, yeah, that could be nice. We'd like to take a look at the game. The trailer looks very good. Mm-hmm. Then little by little, we got more requests for promo codes, and we sent out just almost to everyone who requested one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the sites were, when we approached them, they were just being very friendly. They realized that they were dealing with a very small developer that was sort of trying very hard to do everything by themselves. Mm-hmm. That's an extremely long answer to a very very solid question. Please.
Thank you very much. So I was one of the people who I think contacted in that first day. And we did an interview on August 6th, but before that I actually got a code, and you asked some very specific things. Can you remember that?
I hope I didn't ask you to write a very, very positive review.
No.
You wanted me to experience the game as much as I possibly could, and at the same time, you wanted me to take my time with it, which I did. There's a unique approach, because others really want to get the word as soon as possible out there. Did you feel strongly about people exploring it at your own pace, or was there some other mentality behind it?
Well, I think with SteamWorld Dig, it's a game, I mean, for those who haven't played it yet, it's a game that you can spend a lot of time exploring the game, but you can also sort of speed run through it if you want to.
Yeah.
I think since there is so much to discover in the game, I sort of want people to take their time with it. And that's for a lot of reasons, or the main reasons are this. I mean, if you sort of speed run through it the first time and then write a review about it, there'll be so many things that you haven't explored, and I think you would be missing something. And also, I mean, if you play the game the first time, just take your time while you do it, because there is so much to see. And the second reason is that we had spent so much time just polishing every little detail in the game that I really wanted people to see all those pretty little things. And then there's the third reason, that we didn't want people, reviewers, to rush through. I mean, obviously, you could be asking that in vain because reviewers have a very tight schedule. I mean, I'm talking to you, and it's sounds like you should like you could use another Dan to. There could be two of you to do the load, and I was sort of hoping that that reviewers would be able to sort of take their time with it and go through rather than rush through and say, okay, it's a very short game and not very much happens in the game. I really wanted people to explore and feel that it's actually quite rich.
Mm-hmm. So when we did the interview, I felt very strongly about your set during your bits because you really explained the feelings behind the title, and I truly appreciated that. And I was already playing, so it became these 30 minutes where I finally got what every single piece meant. Is the philosophy something you wanted to get out there on the front?
What? Yeah, I really wanted to. I wanted to explain about the world of SteamWorld because it's there is a depth there that we're just hinting at it in SteamWorld Dig, mm-hmm. And I wanted to tell the world that this game is just one of the games in the SteamWorld series. We're going to make a lot of different SteamWorld games. We have so many great ideas for it, I think. And maybe we can get to that later in this interview. I can talk about what we're sort of coming up with next. But it's so I really wanted to tell you about SteamWorld and how it has come about. Why are the robots the good guys, and why? What happened to humanity? Why are they such lowlifes?
So, in that interview, where he talked about the trials and tribulations of the development cycle, what was for you the hardest to convey to people? I think you can easily mention it since that initial period has now passed.
Well, it's SteamWorld Dig is a we refer to it as a mining platform adventure.
Yeah.
So to your average person or average gamer or player, that's three words. Does that give you an image of what this game is about? And so it's really hard to talk to people and sort of explain what the game is about without sort of comparing the game to other games, where either you just say that, yeah, it's a mining platform adventure, take that image and run with it, or you can sort of start going into describing the gameplay elements and so on. And we really didn't want to come out at the very start saying that, yeah, this is a game that has elements from other classic games in it. It's interesting that we didn't want to say that, because when we made SteamWorld Dig, we really wanted to sort of flirt a little with other classic titles such as Metroid or Dig Dug and Mr. Driller and so on. We wanted to say that, yeah, look at this game. It's in that vein. We want to pay homage to these classics, but at the same time, we didn't want to say, yeah, it's a game like, it's like this game, but not, and so on. So yeah, it was really hard to tell people what it was about. And I still actually think it's pretty hard to tell people how it works. Because as soon as you mention that it's a mining game,
yeah,
people will get sort of a Minecrafty vision of it. That okay, so you're digging. So, but the Minecraft is already out there. So, yeah, but it's not like Minecraft. Okay, so it's a digging game, but it's not like Minecraft. No, it's not. It's actually more like it. It has other elements that sets it apart. It's a mix of genres, and then you sort of see that they get glassy-eyed and drift away from the from the conversation. So it's actually quite hard, I think, to describe it. It's not a simple platformer. It's not a simple mining game, and it's certainly not just an adventure. It's a mix of all those three, and just hope that people will find out for themselves.
So, going back to that week where it was released, so the day before that Nintendo Direct happened, and we already knew at that point that it was announced, but I knew it the day beforehand because you kindly, you dropped a hint at it. Sort of. I could grasp the hint from saying, yeah, you're going to that point. And soon, then it was announced, we did the interview, because I specifically, we waited a day because I wanted to try the game, then we did the interview, and then we could talk about it. So I released that interview that same evening, rushed through the editing. That was something I've never done before, I think. And I think we released at the correct time because people didn't have to wait for long. And then it was announced at the Nintendo Direct. How much impact do you feel that it had, like the Direct presentation and people seeing it and thinking, maybe I should download this?
I think it definitely had an impact. Maybe not by just what you saw when you saw SteamWorld Dig in the Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
But also that it actually was included there. It was Nintendo was sort of going out on a. They were going somewhere where they hadn't really gone before very much, I should say. They were taking a game from a very small and unproven developer, throwing it in there and giving it a lot of presence in a presentation where you are sort of used to Nintendo talking very, very much about their own games and the third-party titles that they also discuss. They're shown sort of together in a segment where you get maybe 10 seconds each. Right? And so I think it sort of had a sideways impact because people were looking at it and they were not prepared to see some stupid little game like that interfere with the rest of the business.
Well, to be fair, the big guns were already out there because Iwata was already said goodbye, and then came the lovely Shibata on stage, which he pretty much said from, "Hey, this game is coming out today, and here's some footage," and people saw it, and it was before like another segment of a whole bunch of Wii U games, but it was special to see that game on its own there, just out there as this lonely 3DS title.
Yeah. It's right, and it was. I think it must have had impact because we just had some very nice sales figures from the very start. But at the same time, I mean, I think it did a lot for us as a developer that Nintendo went out and said this, because. Yeah. If Nintendo is pushing it and it turns out to be a great game, then they have sort of done everything right. They're showing that they are very indie friendly, that they're giving indies a lot of exposure, and they're not, at the same time, they're not taking a risk on a game that is so-so. It's actually they're showing off a game that is truly great.
They can look into the future and say, "From this game, it's going to be nice."
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it was definitely it had a lot of impact on it, but maybe not only the Nintendo Direct presentation. I think also that Nintendo themselves were prepared to back it up with promotions for the game. They were actually displaying it quite nicely in the eShop, both
in Europe.
It was very prominently for like several weeks. It even had its own slot. So.
Yeah, it was almost like we got used to it, you know. We were almost sad when they took it off the top shelf. But it sort of had it also it seemed like it had earned a presence there in the eShop. And then America caught on a couple of weeks after Nintendo Europe. So for 2 weeks we didn't have that sort of exposure in the US, and that was very noticeable.
Yeah, it was definitely noticeable in their press release. So I think I sent you a message about that even. I said from, oh look, it's at the bottom of the press release. Yeah, and I was very sad about that because at that point I had finished the game and reviewed it. So I was looking at American releases at that time. I was like, oh.
Well, it was sort of where you maybe where you expected it to be, and it also shows you what a rookie developer we are. I mean, this is only 3 months ago, and we haven't turned into geniuses overnight. At least not I have not. I mean, the rest of the team at Imogen Form are all geniuses, but I'm still learning how to do this PR marketing stuff. The thing is that when I got the message from Ed Valiente that Nintendo of Europe was going to include it in the Nintendo Direct presentation, I just for some reason I thought that they were communicating a lot about the title, about SteamWorld Dig, with Nintendo of America, which they may have done, but I should have talked a lot more directly with Nintendo of America before the release. It just shows that we are still learning a lot of stuff here.
Fair enough.
So the press took notice, and there was a gigantic turnaround on the game. I think the how were those initial few days after that special launch moment?
It was very, very hectic, very turbulent, and very sleepless, I should say, because one of the effects of releasing in Europe, Australia, and the US at the same time with just 1 day's difference is that there's going to be a if it's so well received as SteamWorld Dig was, there is going to be a lot to deal with during that first week. Since you're on three different continents, it means that you sort of have to stay awake the whole time to sort of catch everything when it happens. And so I think I was maybe for a week I was averaging some 2 or 3 hours per night, and
Oh dear.
it was very hard. I mean, of course it's hard if you don't get sleep. I have a lot of kids, so I remember what it's like not to be able to sleep for a few months, but this was just so intense. And I was at the whole time this was happening, I was since it was so immediate on the with the Nintendo Direct presentation, and then the launch, and then all of the reviews or very many reviews coming within a space of just 1 or 2 or 3 days, and they were all so positive. It just meant that it was like a tidal wave that built from nothing. It's like a tsunami, even. You have an earthquake, and then there's this huge wave coming. And it was very hectic, and it was a super high. It was fantastic. Just reading, it was even hard to sort of to digest all this amazing press that we're getting for this game.
The interesting thing was in the first few days after my review was up, I was like, I checked all of this other stuff other people were saying about it. That's because I was just done on the game, so I was just feeling from, how are people other feeling about this? Because I had this like pre-launch experience, which is also kind of really scary. And I also have to with like another few like eShop titles. I don't know how other people will react to it, and seeing other people just being so positive was just, it was just amazing.
Yeah, Well, if it was amazing for you, it was, yeah, you can imagine how it was for us, because it was, we were sort of, we became like spoiled children just in a space, just in a few days, because we got such fantastic reviews that when we, I think there is a review from Wii U Brazil that gave it, that gave it only 6 out of 10. And we were sort of shocked, and we were discussing whom to put on a plane to go over to Brazil to threaten some people. It was like they had their take on the game, and they said this is a very nice game. Well, it's a digging game. Maybe it's not for everyone, right? And it was pretty difficult to sort of sit there and start almost expect to get very, very high marks from everybody. So it means when we got on the, any off review that wasn't like an 8, 8.5, 9, or even a 10, it was like, those are very few, those reviews. I mean, but it was almost devastating to get, we felt like, oh my God, we're misunderstood. It's only 7.5 out of 10. Oh no. So it was those few days afterwards, we just, it was like being very high on something. Just and I don't do drugs, so that's sort of what I assume being high. But yeah, it was fantastic. It was really fantastic. Exhilarating.
So the press goes hand in hand with the consumer. How was the mix of the feedback on the title? Were there folks who were like extremely negative towards it?
You know, this may sound like an outright lie, but to this day, I haven't had contact with one person who has thought that the game is bad or even so-so. People, maybe that's not the truth of it. I mean, if you think a game is so-so, are you going to send me a tweet about it? It's like, hi, I played your game. It's so-so. But if you're really negative about it, then I think we should be seeing that. And there is no one who is negative about it. It's usually what people call it, an awesome game, and it's what we're getting used to it, but we try not to get used to it. If whenever someone writes anything about SteamWorld Dig, we try to respond as soon as we can, and we're going to keep doing that for as long as we make games, because if we don't talk to the players, then or if we get too important to talk to the players, then we have lost something important along the way, I think.
Definitely. Another aspect is sales, and this is possibly the most important end goal of every game company. How are understandings, and what are your personal findings after being on the Nintendo 3DS eShop for a while now?
Well, I should... sales is obviously very, very important. It's if we don't have sales, and if our games don't break even, then well, the outlook is very bleak. We can't sustain ourselves if we don't have good sales. I'd say since this is a postmortem, I can sort of reveal how the game has been selling and what our initial expectations were.
Yeah.
So I think we have spent more time on SteamWorld Dig, more man hours than maybe people think that an indie developer can do, because we wanted it to be very, very polished and actually be a contender to stand up against any sort of handheld game. And so we, as of now we haven't broken even with Steamwell Dig yet. I think we need to sell another 50% of what we've sold now to break even. But it also, we had some cash from before to sort of use from the beginning, and then we borrowed some from some very delightful people. And so now that we're sort of getting paid for the game, it's actually quite nice. We're sort of sustaining ourselves very well at this point. But what is fascinating is how naive we were about the eShop before we released the game, because we were sort of discussing what we could expect, and we were looking at the install base for the 3DS. And I think there, you know this better than me, Dan, but my guess is that there is somewhere between 40 and 45 million 3DS units in the world now. If I'm off, then I'm very sorry, but I think it's...
I don't know exactly either, so don't worry.
I think it's there somewhere, and we thought that, okay, if there are so many units out, and the platform itself isn't... they haven't started putting away their 3DSs now. I mean, they haven't...
No.
There is no 4DS yet, and so...
Well, there is a 2DS.
Yeah, there is a 2DS, and I'm actually quite pleased with 2DS. Do you want to digress here a little bit? What do you think about the 2DS?
I like the 2DS. Many people say that they don't really like it, or they don't have very interest in it, but I think it's a cool little device.
Yeah, I think so too, and it's... As always, they surprise us. All of a sudden, there is a new... there's a new DS device.
I should download Steamboat Dick on that.
Yeah, you should do that. Give us the extra sales. Or maybe I have a review code for you.
I already reviewed the game. No.
No. So, but what I should say there is that we were so naive, or so overly optimistic about the sales. We were like... I was saying that there's some 40 million units out there, 3DS units. I mean, it would be crazy if we at least have a decent game and we won't be able to sell 100,000 copies. We must be able to sell that. And everybody was high-fiving each other and saying, yeah, it's going to be great. and I think, yeah, we'll get there. That's not unrealistic, but I'm sort of surprised at the discrepancy. We've gotten just fantastic press, and all the people who play it are just delighted. That's the image I have of people of the reactions to SteamWorld Dig. So people love it, the press love it. So where are all these other 3DS units?
Well, there is a figure that, like, I think 80% of them are online, so they must have seen it on the eShop sometime somewhere.
You think so, right?
Yeah.
But then again, I mean, a lot of those units are in Japan, obviously, and in Asia. I think since we're coming out with on the Japanese eShop very soon, it'll be interesting to see how it does in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are already like 10 million units there alone, so we'll see.
Well, we'll see. Yep.
Yeah.
The first time we actually talked in the flesh was at Gamescom 2014 in Cologne. And there you are already like discussing the future. One of the things is like that, like we just said, the game is coming to Japan. How exciting is that for you personally, and how difficult is it to get your game on the 3DS eShop?
Oh, in Japan.
In Japan, yeah.
Maybe you need to know a little bit more about me. I've lived for quite many years in Japan. When I was younger and even more stupid, so it was it's sort of it's I don't hold a grudge against Japan, so it's not like payback time. But at the same, it feels like I'm coming sort of full circle with getting our game out in Japan, and it's sort of since I've spent so much time there, I speak Japanese and I can read a fair amount, and I can actually do some communication in writing with Japanese people. So whenever I see a Japanese person tweeting about Steam Will Dig, I sort of immediately get on their case and don't let go until we've had a nice little chat. So it's also like this. In 1991, I was part of the multimedia boom that sort of exploded in Japan in 1991. I mean, the backstory is that Apple released System 7, and you could sort of start making multimedia presentations. You could make CD-ROM games for the first time, and I was actually part of that. So you could say that commercially, I made my first games in Japan, and now I didn't really see myself making games for Japan through Image and Form. It's just, I don't think you can imagine how exciting it is. It's very, very exciting. And then the Japanese 3DS eShop, or the Japanese eShop, is a little different from the American one and the European one, in that in Japan you will need a Japanese publisher, or you need to be a Japanese developer, or you will have to go through a Japanese publisher. It's actually like this. I was in Japan in January when Steam Will Dig was just 3 months into development, and I was showing a prototype to I was there to meet with a few different Japanese publishers, because we wanted to have it released in Japan as well. We think that it should appeal to the Japanese players as well, and so I had lined up a few meetings, and I had this prototype where you couldn't do very much in the game, and it wasn't very polished, and it was very that was the first time, like you asked the question before, what is the hardest thing to convey to people? I mean, the hardest thing in the world is to sit with a game prototype and sort of trying to convince people that it's going to be an excellent game, where they were sitting with the 3DS and they were digging, and they were digging for gold, and we didn't really have the game wasn't finished in our heads either, so it was really hard to sit and tell them that this is going to be a truly exceptional game. Do you want to publish it in Japan? And so I talked to a few publishers, and they sort of wanted to think it over. And then, well, having been in Japan, it's never a good sign when a Japanese person tells you that this looks very interesting, we need to discuss it. Even a yes can mean a no in Japan, so a maybe is a no-no. But one of the publishers stuck with us. It's a publisher called Intergro, who said that they really wanted to see more. Instead of saying no immediately, they wanted to follow us through, and they actually could see the potential for it in Japan. And just actually, by Gamescom, when you and I met in the flesh for the first time, we sort of sealed the deal.
You told me.
With Integro to publish it in Japan. So it was very good, because they were being very serious about it, I think. They were asking a lot of right questions along the way. They weren't just gonna bet on something that they didn't know anything about, but they were intrigued enough not to let it go. So it seems like it feels very good that Integro is going to publish it for us.
There, you are not the only guys who get published in Japan. I think the Way Forward guys have a title coming out this week. So it's all Western titles all coming to Japan now, all taking over the Japanese eShop.
And also, actually, then I again, Colors 3D is coming out in Japan, and maybe you don't know that, but Gunman Clive as well has been released.
Gunman Clive has done.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Which I think actually Chinese.
They are, yeah. Actually, I've talked a bit with Circle Entertainment. It just seems like a fabulous bunch of people as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's a very interesting time to be an indie, where if you have a decent game, you don't immediately get turned away, or you don't stand there with your hat in your hand begging people to
Yeah.
take it. It's sort of, there's another openness now, I think.
Yeah.
It's very, very exciting. And I'm very happy for Bertel Hørberg at the maker of Gunman Clive, that he's coming to Japan, because it's.
Well, it is out there, so people can download it if they have a Japanese 3DS, but and maybe they should.
I think they should. I think it's a lovely little title. It's
Yeah.
great.
Another thing I was taken aback by back at Gamescom is how many appointments you had because you were so busy. I think we talked for 3 minutes and you had to go. It was like if the gigantic version of the world was finally open to speak to you and open the doors for a 3DS download title, no less. I was kind of impressed by how much love it was given at the end.
I think you're very, that's very, very observing of you, that you actually could, you remember that, because we were, before SteamWorld Dig, we had made Antil for the for iOS and for Android, and that's, Antil is a fantastic game as well, but the market in the iOS and Android market is so different. You don't you're not talking days or weeks, you're talking hours where you stay in the limelight. Here it was, we had released a Nintendo download title, and people were just lining up to talk to us, and it was very humbling, because it's, we have made nothing before for the Nintendo 3DS, and I'm maybe it's not so much about us, but rather that the Nintendo 3DS is a very, very interesting platform. That I mean, all through spring, and also working through summer of 2013, there's been some very, very strong titles coming out for the Nintendo 3DS. And here's this shitty little developer coming out of Gothenburg, Sweden, with a hit game for the 3DS. So that, if the 3DS is a hot platform and they have the hottest game, we need to talk to them. And everybody was just very nice and very forgiving of my whimsiness. I mean, here's this, finally, like after years and years, here are journalists that want to talk to me, and I'm talking a mile a minute, and I'm answering everything but their questions, and I was just so thrilled to talk to journalists that wanted to talk to us. So it was Gamescom was a fantastic experience. But actually, this may sound like sucking up to you too much, but I was so much looking forward to seeing you as well. So it was a great encounter.
That's why you started the famous line, I have a lot of things to thank for you. It's like, really?
Yeah, well, it's obviously, you don't get to tell your end of it, but I mean, I think everybody that listens to you should know, or should know that we appreciate it so much, because, I mean, it's in one night you managed to do an interview with me that was obviously too long, and then you went through and edited it, and then you wrote a review, and then you put up two playthroughs on YouTube. It was just, it felt like I have people in my close family that wouldn't do so much for me. So we were so grateful. I don't think you realize how important it has been for us. It was fantastic effort.
Oh, thank you. And I feel a bit humbled now.
Yeah, we should all feel humble.
Well, that laugh, by the way, continued at Eurogamer Expo, where I was as well, and you showed the game directly to the consumer, which was very interesting. How different was that experience to you?
Yeah, that's right. We went to Nintendo invited us to come to have a little stand at their Eurogamer Expo booth, and that was very interesting because Eurogamer Expo is sort of a good sized fair, I should say. Gamescom is extremely huge, but Eurogamer Expo fits in one building, and it's not terribly loud, and it just feels like the pace is right there. Still, there it's a lot of people, and it was showing the game directly to the consumer. It was a very, very different experience for us because we make the game and then we sort of send out some press releases to the press, and they talk to the consumers for us, and we have some direct contact via Twitter and Facebook with our mm-hmm. customers. But this was sort of, all of a sudden we were it was like being at a market where people were sort of walking by, and we were like, "Hi, have you seen this game?" And it was a very different experience and very exciting, because then you could sort of stand and watch people as they were playing and sort of look for their reactions and see what are they going to like about this game? Are they going to like it at all, or are they going to sort of just not get it and say, "Thanks, this is not for me"? But it was just fantastic. People were playing, and then some other people were just sort of circling around. It's like, "Yeah, I've heard of your game. Can I play?" Say, "Yeah, of course you can. And just this guy has to finish first." And so we had some genuine interest. And then at the same time, we were in the Nintendo booth, and it was also interesting to see how gamers are predestined to go and look for their favorite game, where they would. I thought that what a fantastic opportunity for players to come and look at games that they've never heard about. But while we had a lot of people playing SteamWorld Dig, that was nothing compared to the line of people who were waiting to play, say, Mario Kart or some other title.
Bayonetta 2. Let's stop the interview for a second to talk about why this is a problem that Bayonetta 2 had a long line. I'm sorry. I'll stop there for a moment. Okay, Tengami from Yum Yum. Lovely people.
Yeah.
Directly over their demo station was a line for Bayonetta 2, and nobody could stand in line even for Tengami. There was no line possible even.
Right.
Yeah, it was so terrible.
Yeah, and you know what? Nintendo actually did something wonderful for us, because the night before the first day at the fair, they sort of took us indie developers out for dinner. Yeah. And that was fabulous, because we're indie developers for the Nintendo platform. It doesn't mean that we know each other from before.
Yeah.
But then it was such a great, great opportunity for us to sort of sit and compare notes. I mean, compare our experiences so far and what's been tricky, what are we hoping for, and what do you think you can expect, and so on. And Tengami, like you mentioned, I felt so sorry for them because it was such a nice game, and it wasn't really visible. So I felt sorry for them. But then I was happy for some other developers like Dako Dako, who are coming out with Scram Kitty. And his buddy on Rails.
I'm gonna stop the interview again to talk about Scram Kitty. So Scram Kitty, I played at E3. I wasn't very sold on, but at the Eurogamer, I was sold on that game.
Yeah.
Such a great game.
Yeah, it's one of those nasty little games that's sort of creep up on you, and it's like, yeah, is this going to be? You look at it first, and then you sort of try it, and then it's like, yes, it's very, very nice.
It's very nice.
So yeah, I really hope that Dako Dako gets some really good recognition for that game, because in that genre, I mean, I don't know if, well, not maybe not everyone has seen that game or seen trailers for it. It's like you sort of attach yourself to walls, and then you sort of roll around to collect stuff. And
it's the interview with them is still my most wanted interview. It still hasn't happened, so that's how badly I want to do that interview with them, because I really like that game. That's like my next game I'm looking forward to after this one, which I played.
Okay, that's lovely, because I've got all their email addresses. If you don't have it, just ask me. They're so friendly. You should just they're wonderful people.
Guys, foreshadowing. But yeah, it's Eurogamer was a lovely time, and we got to talk for like 2 days.
Yeah.
How were those 2 days? Were quite interesting, was it?
For us, it was all of it was interesting. I mean, we met with so many developers, and we met with so many consumers that you sort of it was like. How do you describe it? I mean, when you were looking at a consumer playing your own game for the first time, it's like, and you see that they like it. It's like writing a piece of music and to be in the audience when it's played for the first time and people are applauding at the end, right? It can't get any better. And so, We met so many interesting and great people, and also all the Nintendo of Europe people there. We met what's the word in English? The grassroots people, the people who are actually doing all of the or who are doing so much of the work at Nintendo, without being the big bosses that you sit and email with, and everybody's just so competent and just so nice at the same time. It's such a privilege to work with them.
Yeah, Eurogamer was an insane lifetime. I got there for the people of Nintendo Life, who also did an interview with you, I think, back there, and you had still a lot of press going for you during that couple of days.
Oh yeah, I mean, we had a few really, really nice interviews there. And one of them was with Nintendo Life, which was, there were a few, before we released the game, I mean, there were a few holy grails that we, people that we really wanted to get hold of in the Nintendo press. And you can't imagine how hard it is to find the email address of a person if they don't want to be contacted directly. So we really wanted to talk to Nintendo World Report, we wanted to talk to Nintendo Life, and we wanted to talk to Official Nintendo Magazine and a few more. We really wanted those sites to review our game, and we really wanted to have nice reviews from those people. And so it was sort of strange to just less than, I mean, Eurogamer was less than 2 months after release, and then we get to meet with the Nintendo Life team, and they're patting us on the back, and yeah, it was a week
of love.
Well, it is, and it's maybe it sounds artificial, and it's like something that could go away, but at Image and Form, we're all about love. Image and Form is maybe not like a lot of other developers. I can't imagine the day I would have to fire any one of them, because they're all like family members. And it's a very flat organization. It's not one person who decides everything. And they're brilliant, brilliant, hardworking people. And so at Image and Form, it is about love. Love is very important. Love is everything. It's important in every aspect. But if you make a game, it's about loving games, and it's about loving the players, that you love them enough to give them something that they haven't played before. That is something new, and some at the same time it's something that they recognize and sort of want to go back to. So love is the thing.
Love is the thing. It keeps us going. I could make a song out of that.
Oh, now, yeah.
maybe later. Maybe it's for the after show.
It's love. It's love. Yeah.
It is love. Now that the journey has kind of come to a close, are there things that you regret or would have done differently if you had gotten the chance?
Let's see now. The things that we regret or would have done differently. I think maybe just that we would have been more prepared from the beginning for the release. It's obvious that if we are 1 week away from a release and we don't have a release plan, that's not very good.
No.
At the same time, it's like now afterwards, it might look like it was all planned, that we were going to sort of go in like a nuke, like just a bomb that goes off on the very day of release, and then we get just confetti everywhere. I think what we will do differently in the future is that we will sort of try to keep some of the things. We will release maybe the official trailer. We will release maybe just a few, 1 or 2 days before we release the game, just so it feels fresh for people. But we will definitely, once we announce what a game will be, then we will talk much more about it for a longer while, much more during the development process. And sort of invite people from our community to come and test it even, or yeah. So people could sort of start talking about it a while before we sort of come slamming in from the left. I don't know. Do you know any Dutch people who'd be interested?
For the people at home, I'm currently raising my hand, and we're both having a webcam on, so you can see it.
Well, I think that's something we just need to get better at that. At the same time, I believe in this, that we keep PR and marketing in house, because no one is going to love our games
feel the love of your game as yourself.
Yeah. No one is going to spend as much love on the game as we're going to do ourselves. So we just need to get better. I need to get better. Yeah.
So, let us know what the future holds for Image Inform. First off, we discussed something in the first interview I kind of want to get back to. And that's that you were still considering going with other platforms with SteamWorld Dig. Is this still something you're interested in?
Are you done? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yes. Period.
Yes. Yes. Period. Dot. There. Yeah.
No, it's most definitely. We are very interested in seeing SteamWorld Dig coming out for other platforms. I mean, one thing is that I would love to see many more people play it. That's one. And the other is that now we know that it works for the handheld. Will it? I mean, the controls of the 3DS, they're not that far from the controls of any of the other big sort of stationary consoles. The gamepad or the hand unit is the same, right? The feeling shouldn't be different. But it would be so very, very interesting to see how people reacted to the graphics if you get it up, if you can show it in high definition quality. I mean, to have, because there are things that you actually cannot see on the screens of the 3DS, and I'm not going to slam the 3DS for it. It's a brilliant unit in its format, but just the details that have gone into the graphics, it's breathtaking, really, and it should be. I would love to see it on bigger screens.
So that's still an option. Great. So you have announced that a new game in the Steam series is coming to the 3DS first. Is there any update you want to give on that?
That's in that question. There are actually two questions. It's like, is the next SteamWorld game, mind you, it's not the next SteamWorld Dig game, it's the next SteamWorld game.
Yes.
Meaning that it's going to be in the SteamWorld universe. And
yes,
it's the next game is not going to be a direct sequel to SteamWorld Dig. It's not going to be a SteamWorld Dig 2. But so the first question is, it's coming to the Nintendo 3DS first. And we will develop it for the Nintendo 3DS. It will definitely, on day one, it'll be available on Nintendo 3DS. We think it's just a fantastic platform. Then, if I have any updates on the game, the thing is that when we made SteamWorld Dig, the first thing I went out and said about SteamWorld Dig was that it was going to be released at the end of February 2013. Mm. And then I said it was going to come out at the end of March, and then the end of April, and then mid-May, and then June. And finally it came out on August 8th. If there's one thing I've learned from talking too much before everything is set in stone, it is that it's very likely that I will have to eat my own words. So I've sort of promised the rest of the team, and it's sort of, they will kill me if I say too much. So
you could say a thing to me. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll say a few things.
Okay.
One thing is that, gameplay-wise, it will have elements from SteamWorld Dig. You will definitely know which environment you are. Then there will be other gameplay elements in there, and the mix is very interesting. And I've played the first vertical slice, the very early alpha version of this game, and it is fantastic. I can tell you that much. It's the brilliance of our lead game designer Olle Håkansson. He's a genius at that. To sort of mix stuff together that really fit well together, and it was so exciting to just spend 30 minutes playing this next SteamWorld game that I was thrilled to see it, and I was while I'm name dropping here. So our lead designer is Olle Håkansson. He's a genius. I was talking about the art just before, and how I would love to see all those details in more, that people could actually see all these beautiful graphics. We have some our art director Tobias Nilsson is just one of a kind. He's the best in the world, I think. And then we have just some really talented people around those two. So the update on the game is I don't have an release date for it. I don't have a date when we will announce the title for it. But I can tell you that it's going to be really very, very, very cool.
Okay.
Maybe is it easy enough to say that it comes out next year?
Yeah, that's very good. It's coming out in 2014.
Well, that's easier to say than we know. It's easier to say than no ever. So we'll take that. 2014, and that is settled. That's set in stone forever. Are there other things on the horizon? For image and form that you want to discuss, or is that anything?
It's just that I think one thing is that we have finally found our vision. In 2011, when we made Antil, we made a fantastic game. For some reason, we thought that now that we've made a fantastic game, we can never fail again. We will never make a mediocre game. And then immediately after Antil, we went straight ahead and made some mediocre prototypes. And we sort of lost our confidence for a while there. And so when we came out with SteamWorld Dig, it was such a huge relief that sort of knowing and daring to go to spend so much time and so much resources and money on one game, just to dare to make it as good as it is. It felt so good doing that. And it sort of reinforced because at one point we were sort of at a loss when we couldn't repeat Antil fast enough. And we sort of had to draw up or write down the vision for the company. And the vision has to be to make high quality games that we want to play ourselves and that people will happily re recommend to others. And if we've learned one thing is that we can actually do that. We can make really great games. And we just need to believe in ourselves and keep doing what we do best, which is just making games.
So finally, I want you to directly say something to the fans listening in. Do you have something to say to them, and are you specific folks you want to thank?
The specific people I want to thank are there are really so many. There are a lot of reviewers that put so much love or gave so much love back. So all of the reviewers who have sort of realized who we are and who have just reviewed the game for what it is. It's they think it's a beautiful game, and it sort of becomes even more astonishing when you look at the developer and publisher of the game. Image and Form is still very much an indie studio, and all the support we can get, we appreciate, and all the love we get, we get just ecstatic. And also all of the out of the blue people, that they don't have to tweet us to tell us that they like the game, but they do, and it means so much. It means the world to us. We will never get fed up with that. It's fantastic reinforcement every day. And well, obviously Nintendo. And final words to the audience is that I think you should play a lot of games. You should play more games, and you should try more games. And it doesn't have to be SteamWorld Dig, but it's like deciding that you only listen to pop music or you only listen to heavy metal. There is so much music in the world, and there are so many different games. Not all of them are good, but there are definitely some really, really good games out there. So don't get stuck. Try a lot of games. Play more games. Three words. Play more games.
The funny part is, I actually wrote a column about it. Go out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, well, it's getting out of the comfort zone in trying a new game. It's not such a huge leap. It's just
no.
It's
taking the first dive. That's actually the worst part about a genre.
Right. Exactly. It's well, you can't start loving something if you don't know what it is. Just look for it and look at games and play more games.
Because people should.
Yes.
Yes. Is that all you have to say tonight? Anything else before we drop the mic and leave?
Oh, God, there's tons of things. I want to thank you, Dan, because you've done so much for us. I'm not talking about this sort of stuff. It's constant reinforcement. Thank you. And thanks to all the other lovely people that have come in contact with SteamWorld Dig. It's you've changed our lives. I don't think you know what that means, but you've really done that. We are a different developer now than we were 3 months ago. We were just a small unknown studio. Now we're a small studio that is somewhat more known and very much more confident in what we do.
And a perception, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
All right.
With that...
With that, I think it's time to call this one to a close. And this was a very long one, for a very special reason, because we love you. Now get love us back and listen to the entire thing again.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dan.
No problem. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Okay. Cheers. Bye.
Cheers.
Cheers. Bye, everyone.